Jackets, free minds, free people. This is a production of the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives. The Box. Inside. Outside. On.
Hello and welcome to the Box podcast. My name is Priya Abraham and I'm a senior policy analyst at the Commonwealth Foundation. I focus on education policy. And I'm here today with two public school educators from Central Pennsylvania, Julie Robb and Keith Williams. And I met Julie and Keith through a project that we launched last year called Free to Teach, which is basically a project to engage teachers on the issues that affect them and interest them. This is the second of two conversations that we've had with these teachers. And we're just talking about unions in Pennsylvania and how that has affected them professionally and how that affects public education in Pennsylvania. I wanted to start out just by doing a bit of a comparison for some context. Wisconsin and Michigan, two Midwest states, have been in the news a lot lately for some pretty controversial public sector union reforms. One of those reforms was called eliminating automatic dues deductions. And that basically means that school districts and other government agencies stopped withholding union dues and political action committee money from teachers' paychecks. And that's a system that's followed in Pennsylvania, too. So I wanted to ask, would you support a ban on automatic dues deductions here in Pennsylvania, and why or why not?
Absolutely. I live in the district in which I teach, so you know, I'm looking at it in, I guess, kind of the self-interest, you know, with taxes of, okay, what can we do to keep taxes down? Our district office is responsible for collecting money on behalf of the union. So I don't know, you know, I don't know what the hourly rate is down there, but regardless, that's an expense that's being taken on by the district on behalf of a nonprofit.
They're using taxpayer money to hand money over to a private organization, and they're the, you know, the educational union is the only union that has that benefit. To me, it's a simple matter of freedom of association that they are forcing this money out of my paycheck. If unions are of a benefit, people will join out of their own free will. I have no problem with that. I'm not out to get rid of the unions or bust the unions, but I simply want it to be voluntary. And if it's of a benefit, people will join. If they don't see a benefit, you know, they will go away. The union will have to reorganize and come back and make a pitch as to, you know, why people should join them. What benefit do they have?
Do you see this as an important piece of unions being accountable to their own members if they have to basically collect the money and make the case to their members that they're providing a valuable service?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, the way it stands now, they don't have to do a thing. They get the money sent to them, and they do nothing for it. They do not have to do anything for it. The money will just roll in. If they have to take charge of collecting the money, making people see why it's a benefit to them, yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's, I mean, too, I mean, go back to an election year, you know, pick any election, and imagine how much more participation we would have if we didn't have automatic withholding in our paychecks. You know, if you had to write a check out at the end of every month for your taxes, maybe I'm being presumptuous, but I'm fairly certain our voter turnout would be a lot better than it is.
Absolutely.
So. Let me ask you about another issue that affects teachers but may not be well known among the public or even teachers themselves. Dues money, if you're a member of the union, your member dues can actually go to support political causes. I would define those as soft political causes. Those are things like election mailers and get out the vote drives, activities like that, as opposed to the direct election of candidates, which has to be funded separately, according to the law. But nonetheless, dues money can fund politics and lobbying. If teachers were aware of that, how do you think they would react?
I think many would be surprised by that because we're told that money is not used for political purposes. I'm glad you mentioned the soft money that goes into it. That's true that they can't use the money towards hard politics and put it right out there and give it to candidates, but they can use it for flyers and for mailings and for getting out the vote and manning phone banks. And when I was in the membership the one year, it was an election year, and we were expected to come in and man the phones for the governor's race. And, of course, you know which side they they supported, because 90% of the time, you know, that's the direction they're going, to the left. And I don't think many teachers are aware of that. They say, no, no, our money can't go towards politics. That's not true. That's the extra box you can tick off and give extra money if you like. But, yeah, I think that if that was more well known, because I do think teachers are not 90% to the left, as the unions tend to support candidates that way. And so I think if they were aware of that, you know, that might get them a little more questioning and stirred up and something changed.
Right. A lot of that spending comes not just at the state level, but at the national level. If you are in the PSEA, a portion of your dues goes to the National Education Association. And we found out last year, for example, that member dues money was about 21,000 of it was used to recall the governor of Wisconsin, Scott Walker. It's a good thing for teachers to be aware of how their dues money is being used, in, not just in Pennsylvania, but in other states.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's one of the first things you hear when you start talking about the political associations with unions. You know, the mantra is, well, that's the PACE fund. That's separate. That's completely separate from your union dues. And my response to that is, okay, let me talk to any accountant with a pulse. You know, any accountant who can fog a mirror can tell you that that's just a reallocation of funds.
Yeah.
You know, so it's... To believe that, I think, is a conscious decision to ignore the obvious. I don't get it. I know what they're saying and I see what they're doing, and I just have a very hard time understanding how you can ignore that.
And we talked a little bit in the first segment about union membership in Pennsylvania and how it works. Would you describe it as voluntary in Pennsylvania?
Well, I guess technically union membership is voluntary because you can be a fee payer, but you have no choice as being a fee payer. So in reality, no, it's not voluntary. But they will claim that it is because you don't have to join. You still have to give 80% over to them, but you're not a member. So they can claim that it's voluntary, but in reality, no, we're forced to. You know, we have our wages garnished. So
when you pay your 80% too, which, you know, I'm looking forward to the process now when we receive our Hudson notices here in December. Looking at the previous year's Hudson notice, I thought it was interesting. I had a colleague who, when we had gotten together, said, "Well, why now? Why after so long is it happening now?"
And sorry, could you just explain what a Hudson notice is?
Priya, you might be able to give us more of the legal background of what all happened here with the court case. But basically, the courts upheld that the unions could collect a certain percentage of dues and said that, yes, they do represent you and you do benefit from them being there. Whether you agree with that or not, a court is still made up of people and precedents can be broken. So one court case does not necessarily set the standard, but that's neither here nor there. As a result, this Hudson notice that comes out in December basically outlines, it's a notification that, hey, you haven't paid up, now's your time to pay. And so from that point on, you have a couple of options. Either you pay your 80% dues at that point, you know, sit down in the corner and shut up and do what you're told, or you write your letter of religious objection and file that and make a request that your 80% of your dues, which is what they collect, 80%, that be given to a non-religious charity that is mutually agreed upon by the fee payer and the union. The interesting thing to me is that this Hudson notice, the cover page, talks about, it's just a blatant ad for union membership. Well, you're already paying 80%. It's like triple, I feel like I'm getting a AAA mailer again, you know, like you're already paying 80%. Look at all the benefits you can get, just another 20%. You can get this and this, and you get this, you know, insurance discounts and, you know, car insurance and life insurance. And, you know, all the while they're trying to sell it. And then you flip the page and you've got 120, I think last year's was 126 pages. You know, is this easy? Is this easy to just say no? You know, it's like, it's the drug pusher who is living in your kid's bedroom. Just say no. Sure, I'll just say no, but I'm going to have to make a real job out of it and be a little bit more than committed to make sure that my money's not going to fund something that I object to.
Right. I mean, and just to clarify, it's like once you're a fee payer, they are going to start withdrawing that fee from your paycheck anyway. And the Hudson notice just tells you how they arrived at that accounting, why they deducting that particular amount and just gives you the option of challenging the fair share fee. But as you just outlined, Keith, it's a very long, convoluted process. So my guess is a lot of teachers are not going to pursue it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things we've talked about in our own district. Just a lot of people who were concerned about that was getting through the paperwork. Tentatively, we have a Hudson Huddle planned for December. So we're going to start doing little Hudson Huddles and doing the paperwork together. Uh-huh. Might as well have a party with it, you know. So if it's going to be long and convoluted paperwork, teachers are pretty accustomed to that, and might as well use it as a reason to get together.
I mean, it sounds like, Keith, given that your school district just a couple of months ago went agency shop, that this is an issue at the top of your mind and at the top of the minds of a lot of your colleagues. How are your colleagues reacting to this new arrangement? Do they think it's fair, as the name suggests, or not?
There's either entitlement on one side or outrage on the other. There's just some people who quietly go about paying their dues and are very non-confrontational. You know, I would say it really falls, of those who are willing to have a conversation, it falls into those two schools, outrage or entitlement.
No middle ground?
No, really not. And like I said, I mean, I know that there's some people who are uncomfortable with it because they don't agree with it, but at the same time, they're going along with the union for their personal benefit, you know, or they believe that they need that liability coverage or whatever the reason is. But yeah, there's definitely, you know, those of us who got kind of blindsided in all of this are pretty upset. And I, you know, speaking to Julie's situation, I know she works with elementary. A comment was made to me, I don't understand why this is such an issue in the high school. You know, the other buildings, we're not seeing this kind of pushback. You know, I don't know for sure, but I think at the secondary level, we're used to confrontation. You know, you're dealing with 17, 18-year-olds, teenagers are going to get in your face from time to time, and you got to be comfortable with that. So, you know, I also think that maybe some of that resistance there at the high school level and not in the other buildings is just we're more comfortable confronting as a group. Would be willing to suspect that there's a lot of people in those other buildings who are just as frustrated, but they feel alienated and, you know, otherwise pretty alone.
And Julie, you used to be a union member and then you decided to drop out. Can you explain why you joined and then why you left?
Well, basically, when I first started teaching, I joined just because that's what everyone did. That's what you do. You join a union. There really wasn't a rhyme or reason. And I have to say, at the time, the union dues were very reasonable. So it wasn't a big deal. I joined the union, and I was happy to support my local union. And then, again, you have to join all three, but the dues were not outrageous. But as the years went along, and I think I became more politically aware, that I just saw the direction the union was going, to the left. And I don't support many of the causes that they were supporting. I didn't support many of the causes they were supporting. So I dropped out, and I didn't see any ill effects from teaching, from my job. So I just didn't join again. After several years, a good friend, you know, said, why aren't you a union member? You need to support your local union. You know, this is going to be a tough contract year. I said, well, if you get in and you become president and you take up the case for us at the elementary level, I'll join the union. So she did. And so I had to join that next year. And I called, and that's when I became the building rep. And I thought, well, all right, if I'm going to be in here, I'm going to get all the way in, and I'm going to see, you know, what's going on and how this works. And that was a year that I really opened my eyes as to how things do work. And I saw, you know, we would take grievances and problems from our buildings to the general meetings, and things that were deemed worthy in the leadership were, you know, seized upon and run with. Other things were just pushed aside, and it was like nothing was ever mentioned. One in union leadership in particular really wanted to get a job with PSEA, so he was pushing for the forced unionism and to get that into our contract. And he wanted that as a feather in his cap so that he could get a job with PSEA and move up. And that eventually did come to pass, because they basically said to the district, look, we don't need anything. You put this in the contract. You don't have to give us anything else in the contract. You know, whatever you want, we want this. And basically, that's the way it went. We got nothing that year except money taken out of our check for the union. I mean, that's when it came in. And just to see the way it was run from the inside of their agenda, it's not for the educators. It's definitely not for the children. It's not for the advancement of education. If it was, they wouldn't be fighting, in my opinion, they wouldn't be fighting charter schools and school vouchers and that type of thing. I mean, if they're truly for the education of children and giving choice to parents to get a good education for their children, that should be something they should be supporting, or at least not fighting against. So just from seeing the inside, how it worked, that just, you know, really opened my eyes, and I was out ever since then. Now I'm forced to be a fair share there, but hopefully not for much longer. We can do something to get that changed.
Now, both of you just sound really engaged and up on the different issues that affect teachers. What advice would you give to other public school teachers in Pennsylvania who aren't happy with the direction that the teachers' unions are taking about what they can do and what their next step should be?
Well, first, they should contact Commonwealth Foundation or get online and go to freetoteach.org. I mean, it's full of great information there. I was just on there a few days ago again checking out new things, and there are sample letters on there if they wish to become fair share payers or they would like to file religious objections. There are sample letters on there. It's made very easy. They don't have to speak up loudly. They can just do this quietly behind the scenes, go about their business. I mean, many people are worried about what they'll be thought of at school or what will be said to them or what they'll be talked about when they walk down the hall. And so, you know, they can just go about this very quietly. There are a lot of us out there. Get in contact with us through your organization. I should like to mention Simon Campbell as well, who's in charge of StopStrikes.org. He is a school board member for Pensbury or West Pensbury School District.
Pensbury School District.
And he has been of great help to me. He has gone. I filed my objections nine years ago, going since then. And he has gone and represented me at the hearings that come up every September just because he likes to be a thorn in the side of PSEA. So he does this for fun. So he's more than happy, I'm sure, to help anyone else who wants to join on to the team. There are a lot of resources out there, but, you know, freetoteach.org is a great site that anyone who's thinking about dropping out could go to and get great information.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, just this whole situation here is a great resource. You know, here, talking to Julie, I mean, Julie's got the experience, and I'm going through it for my first time. Mm-hmm. And that's really what it's about, you know, just having a place to go. And you can be discreet. I mean, there's some pretty hostile places out there, I know. I got cyber stalked the first time I put a letter out there about, you know, forced unionism. People actually, my address wasn't attached to it. The district wasn't attached to it. And a district union guy, union president, tracked me down online based on my name, based on a couple little comments in there, and cyber stalked me and CC'd my name and my letter to the superintendent and my building principal. You know, they kind of got a kick out of it because they saw right through what was going on. But yeah, there's some pretty ambitious people out there who, if they directed it in the right places, could probably make some positive changes. But yeah, more of this is definitely not good for anybody. So I guess, yeah, just know that, you know, if you're in that situation, just know that there's a lot of people out there who are just like us and are more than willing to help people out.
Absolutely. And at Free to Teach, we, as Julie mentioned, we have a number of resources that if you're a teacher, you'll find helpful. And contact us. If you have questions, we're happy to help. And it's here at Commonwealth Foundation, but also with the teachers who are involved with the project. So Keith and Julie, I just want to thank you again for your time. Great insights and valuable ones. And I think this is a great way of getting a conversation going on these important issues. So thank you.